This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
Showing off. It is narrated on the authority of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, say, actions are judged by intentions. So each man will have what he intended. Thus, he whose migration was for Allah and His Messenger, his migration is for Allah and His Messenger. But he whose migration was for some worldly benefit or for marriage, his migration is for that which he migrated for.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul. I'm your host Abu Abdus Salam, and with us in the studio are our usual guests, Gulraz, Baha, and Muhammad. We were talking in the last episode about ostentation or riya, and we said how an evil disease it is, and how difficult it is for a person to know that he has this disease in his own soul. And we also spoke about the fact that it is part of shirk, or the hidden shirk. And we also said about how difficult it is to remove this disease from our hearts. Now, the discussion, or the topic of today's episode, is how do we know the telltale signs, or what are the telltale signs of ostentation?
Maybe you wouldn't do a certain action apart from if the there were people around you. On your own, you wouldn't prolong the prayer, but without people, you'd prolong the prayer.
Yeah, that's right. So he'd only do an action if there's somebody there.
Trying to be more religious while you are with other people.
Yeah, so doing extra actions in front of people, yeah?
You feel no drive, no emotion, no reason to do the action.
Yeah, you don't have any reason to do that action when?
When you're alone.
When you're by yourself. So it's other people who drive you to do acts of worship. And yes, I mean, we can summarize the telltale signs of ostentation. Firstly, that a person is lazy with regards to his acts of worship when he's alone. So in seclusion, he doesn't find the desire to recite Quran, for example, or to pray voluntary prayers, for example, or give voluntary charity. However, when he's with others in the masjid, for example, then he finds it easy to pick up the Qur'an, to read long, you know, recitation, and so on and so forth. He does this very easily when other people are present. But note that one should still continue in doing the act of worship that he finds easy to do in the company of the righteous people. Why is that the case?
I guess because if he left it, then that would be showing off as well that you're leaving it, you're leaving that action.
But we're censoring him for doing it more in the presence of people. So why is it, why are we telling him, well, continue your action anyway?
Because in the end, his intention may change.
Exactly, and that's the point here. The important point here is to guard one's intention. One is not censuring doing extra acts of worship in front of people. This is natural. Sometimes you're in the company of people. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that the righteous company is like the perfume seller. It's like the perfume seller, that even if you don't buy perfume, you'll at least, maybe he'll give you some scent. So this is like the righteous company. So it is good to feel the drive more so to do acts of worship when you're with other people who are religious and pious. But the point here is that one has to guard his intention. He has to make sure that he's doing this act of worship for the sake of Allah. So yes, he can do extra acts of worship in front of people. But this should not be the norm. This should be the drive now and then.
But the norm is that he should do acts of worship in private as well. And he shouldn't be lazy when he's doing it by himself. So that initial drive should not change his intention, such that he finds himself regularly doing acts of worship more so, or beautifying his acts of worship in the presence of people. The second telltale sign of ostentation is that a person increases in his good deeds when he is praised, when he's praised for them. And he decreases in them when he is not praised for them. And this is very important, because this is sometimes a hidden reason why a person increases. So he's praised, people maybe hear of his deeds, they might not even see it, and this is called sum'ah. Sum'ah means that he does an act of worship that people don't even see, but he gets sum'ah out of it. In other words, people hear of his act of worship. And this could either include things like, and this could also extend to things like reciting the Qur'an. Okay, people may not see him, but maybe if someone tapes his recitation, and other people hear of it, and they say, oh, how beautiful his recitation is. But he recites for the sake of that praise. If they praise it, and he's not reciting for the sake of that praise, that's another matter which we'll discuss later, inshallah. But if he's reciting for the sake of that praise, then he is, again, this is a clear sign of a person who has ostentation, who has this disease of ostentation. So these are the two key signs of ostentation. Let's have a recap. The first one being?
Key signs of ostentation. He's lazy when he's doing the action on his own.
He's lazy when he's doing acts of worship by himself. So he won't find that he's going to do lots of acts of worship in front of people.
He increases the act of worship when he's with the people.
He increases acts of worship when he's with other people. And finally, and that's to do with the first point. The second point is that when people praise him, he does more acts of worship. When they don't praise him, he doesn't do as many acts of worship. What are the ways of curing this disease of ostentation?
Sorry, just going back to that. If a person does the act for the sake of Allah, then is there any showing off after that act?
Or? We will come to that, inshallah, because we're going to mention that later on in this episode, because that's pertinent to something else, which leads to that point. So, what are the ways of curing one's ostentation?
To remember that a person's deeds are null and void if they are done for other.
Yeah, so he's going for all the effort of praying the salah. And often the people who are ostentatious, they show off, they're lazy. They're lazy. They find it difficult to do acts of worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if the person is lazy, he should get into his psyche that I've gone through all of this effort to do this act of worship, but yet it's not going to be accepted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a disaster. Because he's actually gone out. It's like someone who goes out and builds a house for somebody. And then after all the effort, he spends maybe a few years building this house with his own hands, spending his own wealth, and then he gives it as a gift to somebody who just merely knocks it down. And this is worse, because the acts of worship, the sole purpose is to attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So this is much worse. So that's one way. What else?
Maybe he can try to hide his actions.
This is one of the most the best remedies. One of the best remedies for ostentation is to hide his good deeds. What else?
By trying to be more trustful.
How does that help?
Trying, like he said, trying to be more
secretive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Secretive in his good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when he is alone, when people are not looking, to increase in these deeds.
That's absolutely right. And this is a beautiful remedy as well. That when he's by himself, he should increase in the acts of worship that he's doing. Elongate his prayer much longer than when he does in public. Okay? So, the public and private of a person should affect one another. How is that the case? One should not shorten his public or lessen his public appearance in terms of religious worship out of fear of ostentation. But the opposite should be the case. He can perhaps leave his public, but as it is, but increase in his private. He can increase in his private affairs. So he's not actually going downhill, if you like. If he decreases his public, this is in fact a trap of shaitan, as you mentioned. As you mentioned. But after the break, inshaAllah, we're going to have a look much more about these cures or these remedies for ostentation. We'll go through them one by one, inshaAllah, and then we'll see certain cases which are not ostentation. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ السلام عليكم.
In the name of Allah, Muslims will be fasting all over the planet Earth, in China, in Russia, in Southeast Asia, in Africa, in America, in Europe, in the Middle East, in all parts of the planet, all nations, all races, all people will be fasting in this blessed month.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing certain remedies for this disease of ostentation, showing off riya. And to summarize the remedies, or some of the remedies for this disease, we could say, firstly, one should recognize that one has this disease. This is generally the case with all diseases of the soul and heart. However, it is more pertinent here because ostentation is so hidden. Hence the Prophet ﷺ feared it most for his ummah, and he called it hidden shirk, a shirk al-khafi. So this is the first aspect to curing this disease of ostentation. The second thing is that one should hide his deeds from others. And this is something that Gulraz mentioned earlier on. Yaqub al-Makfuf, he said, one of the scholars of the past, he said, the sincere person is the one who hides his good deeds just like he hides his evil deeds. Why? Why is he so sincere? He's hiding. And how would you hide your evil deeds?
By not telling people that you did so and so and so.
Yeah, you, and a person would usually, if he has any kind of piety in him, he wishes to hide his bad deeds. He's embarrassed of his bad deeds, of his sins. And he doesn't want people to know. He genuinely does not want people to know of his sins. Genuinely. Okay? People often, they don't want other people to know of their weaknesses, of their bad characteristics. They know that the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمْ خَطَّى وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. That every son of Adam is a sinner, or he errs. And the best of sinners are those who repent. So inshaAllah, anyone who has some kind of piety will repent for his sins. He will not broadcast his sins. He won't tell other people about his sins. Because he's embarrassed in front of Allah that I have committed such a grave crime against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the same way, this scholar, he mentioned that a person, a sincere person, in other words, one who does not suffer from ostentation, one who is not showing off in his deeds, he will do acts of worship and hide those good deeds in the same way that a person who does evil deeds or bad deeds, in the same way he hides his bad deeds. What is the benefit of that?
It can increase one's sincerity.
How does it increase one's sincerity?
Because then only Allah sees it and not other people. So you're
because you can be sure that you're not doing it for someone else. This is one way that you can be sure, to an extent, that you're not doing it for the sake of anyone else. You don't want anyone to see that action. And so you do it in private. And this doesn't mean that one should never do good deeds in front of others. It just means that one should increase in doing good deeds in private. So there's no medicine for ostentation like performing a plethora of good deeds in private. And like many medicines, this can be extremely bitter at first. But if the person persists in taking this medicine, He will find that the fruits of it are enormous. He will then begin to tolerate the bitterness of the medicine. And this will eventually lead him to liking it once he sees the benefits of it. Finally, he will come to a stage where he cannot live without this medicine. And such is the pleasure of the sincere private seclusion of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, he takes a deed, just like medicine, you take a bitter medicine. But you know that this medicine is a good remedy for the illness that you have of your body.
So you'll continue to take it?
You'll continue to take it, despite the fact that this medicine is bitter. It's bitter, it tastes horrible. So you take this medicine, and at first you don't like it, but you force yourself. So the first stage is what? To force yourself to take that medicine. The second stage, you will eventually begin to tolerate that medicine. It's bitter, but hey, I can live with it. I can just about live with it. The third stage of this medicine is that he will begin to like it. Because then he realizes that this medicine actually has some benefits. And he will see beyond the bitterness of that medicine. He will not only get used to it, but he will begin to like it. And then the fourth stage is that he can't live without that medicine. Because that medicine is so integral to curing his disease that he cannot live without this medicine. If he goes without it for a short while, then he yearns for it. His heart longs for it. And this is the same as doing good deeds in private. At first it is difficult. A person has to fight against his own soul. He has to prohibit his soul from, you know, from being lazy. But he has to patiently persevere in doing these good deeds. He says to himself, hey, let me just do these 2 rak'ahs of prayer at night, for example, by myself. Let me do my sunnah prayers at home so nobody can see. Not a person's parents, not his wife, not his children, nobody. He does it in private. And then he forces himself first, then he goes on to tolerate it, it becomes a habit. Then he begins to like this feeling. And then finally he comes to a stage where he cannot live without these acts of worship in seclusion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah increase us in these in these private acts of worship. Okay. Let's have a look now at some signs, if you like, or some statements of some of the people with regards to this very topic.
As a philosopher would say, you can only know yourself by asking other people. I think when other people comment about us, we get a more of an understanding about who we are. But that shouldn't differentiate. That shouldn't not make you who you are. You should be who you are. However, other people's feedback is important for you. So that's how you know if you're showing off or not.
When everything we do is for the people and not for ourselves, or for the higher purpose for God. To do it for God, and would you just do it to show people that we are doing it?
For example, he just tried to talk about what he have done and what he has done and all of his achievements. Mainly, it's secondary, not like about academic or career life. He just talks about how his car looks and where he bought for his clothes from, all secondary things.
Praying and reading Quran, and simply by getting closer to God.
Well, I think for ostentation, you could use some high self-esteem, because it happens when someone has a lack of his self-esteem, he doesn't feel that he is enough, so he uses like clothes and stuff to show off himself. But if he has high self-esteem and character inside him, and he has a strong identity, then he wouldn't need to show off to anyone.
Yeah, so some people mentioned some interesting things there. We talked about some of the remedies of ostentation. We talked about how one should do a plethora of good deeds in private, in seclusion. At the same time, we spoke about how a person should recognize, first of all, before that, recognize this disease, and then he should hide his good deeds. And then, finally, he should perform these deeds, he should perform more of these deeds privately, in seclusion. But also, another remedy of ostentation is to know the dangers of ostentation. He should remind himself that it is Allah alone whose pleasure should be sought. If he does this deed to show off, Allah will not accept this deed, and he will not get the reward for his efforts. He should remember that the pleasure of people is only temporary. They'll praise him, and that's the end of that. It's only a temporary praise, temporary pleasure that he will attain. But to avoid the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more serious. So he should weigh up and think logically to himself, am I more in need of the people's praise? Or am I more in need of the pleasure of Allah? Am I more in need to keep away from the displeasure or the wrath of the people? Or am I more in need to keep away from the displeasure or the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, it's very clear. It's very clear that it is the pleasure of Allah that is sought, and it is the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we seek refuge in Allah from. Now, if a person has this in his mind, he has a goal in sight. And everybody knows, when you have a goal in sight, it is much easier to traverse the path leading up to that goal. The fourth remedy for ostentation is that, and this is jihadun nafs, if you like. This is a primary example of jihadun nafs. In other words, primary example of struggling and fighting against one's own self or soul. And this is that whenever the thought of ostentation comes to his mind while performing an act of worship, he should repel it immediately by reminding himself of the greatness of Allah. He should act against his desires and force the thought of showing off out of his mind. So, an example of this, he starts the prayer, he said, Allahu Akbar. And then, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. At this point, he looks at the translation of what he's saying, if he doesn't already know Arabic. And he realizes that he's glorifying Allah and praising Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. How is it possible that someone can be ostentatious and desire other people or the pleasure of other people when he is directing or he's talking to Rabbul Alameen, Lord of the worlds? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the one who's most merciful, the bestower of mercy. The other people are not like that. Maliki Yawmiddin, the one who's going to judge me. The one who is master of the Day of Judgment. And then finally we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we ask, you alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help. And this act of worship, I am worshipping you alone, O Allah. So this is how the person should think about the good deed that he's doing. He should force, physically remove the ostentation from himself. If he starts to beautify his voice for the sake of the people who are maybe praying behind him, hoping that they think, oh, what beautiful voice this person has in recitation in the Qur'an, in this act of worship, then he should ask himself questions. Like, why do you wish the people to know about this act of worship when Allah the Almighty and Sublime knows about it and He'll reward you for it? Why do you want their praise when Allah will praise you on the Day of Judgment? So these are some of the remedies for this wicked quality. Now a point to note, is that some people abstain from performing good deeds out of fear of seeming ostentatious. Now this is incorrect and is an attitude that shows surrender to shaitan. Abstaining from an action out of fear that someone says he is ostentatious is in fact itself a form of ostentation. This is because if one did not love other people's praise and fear their condemnation, then one wouldn't care about their judgment of him being ostentatious or being sincere. Furthermore, what difference is there between abstaining from an action out of fear of being accused of ostentation and performing an action out of fear of being accused or of being heedless and lazy? So there's no difference. In fact, abstaining from the good action is more serious, as this is all part of shaitan's trap against ignorant worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one should not abstain from acts of worship, rather he should cure the disease. Cure the disease. So if a person, he's praying and he's finds that he's being ostentatious, and he comes to realize that, he should not just stop praying. Rather, he should find the remedy for that. Just like the person who is living, he's living, but he has a disease while he's living. He should not stop living. In other words, he shouldn't kill himself. Rather, he should take medicine and try to remedy his illness. Finally, a common occurrence is that people get praised for their actions after completing them. So if a person was sincere when performing an act of worship, and then feels pleasure when someone praises him afterwards, then there's no harm in this. There's no harm in this whatsoever, as long as when he did the action, he is totally sincere. He didn't intend to acquire that praise. So once again, if he feels pleasure after someone praises him afterwards, then there's no harm in this, as long as he did not intend to acquire that praise. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in the hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was asked. Someone asked him, tell us about a person who does some good deeds and people praise him. Will this be considered showing off, riya? He replied, this is the glad tidings which a believer receives in this life. So when somebody praises you for a good deed, but after the action and you get happy for that, there's no harm in that, as long as the actual action was conducted in such a way that was free from ostentation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevent this disease of ostentation overcoming our actions. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity in all acts of worship. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.